From the Financial Times in Washington, I'm Sam Fleming, and this is FT News. How could the presidential election affect Federal Reserve policy this year? If you ask the question of Janet Yellen, the Fed chair, the answer is not one jot. In March, Chair Yellen said that in all her time at the Fed, she had never seen political considerations affect the central bank's policy decisions. That hasn't stopped Fed watchers from wondering, however. Some speculate the central bank will shy away from further rate rises as it avoids taking risks with the economy and markets during an increasingly politically heated period. Sarah Binder, an academic at George Washington University, says it is possible the central bank will want to duck out of the political storm this year. However, she adds it is hard to disentangle the drivers behind policy decisions.
We think, in fact, that the Fed might, in fact, want to duck out of the wind, not to make itself a target of a president election campaign. Now, the question is, of course, the Fed ducking out of the wind, there are policy consequences, right? And in this context, it means not raising rates very gradually, or really doing nothing at all, right? And of course, that's consistent with where we think the Yellen Fed is, right, which is very hesitant to raise rates because they don't think the economy is yet overheated. And so is this the Fed purposely favoring a Democratic administration to make, you know, keep the engine running, juice it up? Or, right, is this just what a dovish Fed would do independent of a presidential election year? You and I can't really tell the difference.
Claims that political considerations could affect Fed policy are nothing new. Back in 2011, Ben Bernanke, the then chairman of the Federal Reserve, was accused by Rick Perry, a Republican presidential candidate, of treasonous behavior and playing politics because he was engaging in quantitative easing.
Yet Fed chairs have been perfectly willing to make policy changes in the midst of the election fray that are not necessarily convenient for the incumbent party. Alan Greenspan steadily tightened policy throughout the 2004 election year when George W. Bush was seeking re-election. Joe Gagnon, a former Fed official, now with the Peterson Institute for International Economics, says he never saw evidence of political thinking when he was at the central bank.
I don't see that Janet Yellen would distort policy to benefit the Democrats or, you know, President Obama's leaving. He's the one who appointed her, so she has no debt to Hillary Clinton. But I just don't see it. I mean, these people, I've been in these meetings, and, you know, they don't, the idea of benefiting or hurting any politicians never comes up. And you can always wonder, is it in the back of somebody's mind? But it certainly is never discussed. And I don't think it really is in most people's minds. I really don't.
There is an exception to all this. Sarah Binder points to an episode in the early 70s when Richard Nixon was president and Arthur Burns was at the central bank.
The one case where there seems to be a good amount of coordination between the White House and the Fed was in the early 1970s, in the run-up to the 1972 presidential election, where the combination of President Nixon and Arthur Burns as chair of the Fed, there seems to be some reasonable evidence that the thumbs were on the scale to keep Nixon, to get him reelected in 72. But aside from that episode, I think the ways in which the Fed has worked and the context, right, 1970s, stagflation, right, Volcker comes in, jacks up rates, right, with a Democrat in the White House. He wasn't trying to get Carter thrown out of the White House. He was reacting to this terrible situation in terms of a decade of stagflation. Right. So the way we look at the data, I'm not convinced that there is a lot of real evidence of, you know, pushing the dial toward one party or the other.
The U.S. election is not the only political factor complicating Fed policy this year. Across the Atlantic, the UK's vote on its membership of the European Union will happen just a week after the Fed's June meeting, casting an extra cloud of uncertainty over this year's US rate decisions. Roberto Perli of Cornerstone Macro.
I think it's very fair to say that if the markets will be in turmoil at the time of the FOMC meeting, so June 15, like a week before the Brexit referendum, Fed probably will stay on hold, right, because in the interest of not disrupting markets even further, not adding anxiety to already volatile markets. But because the macro impact of a Fed, of a Brexit on the U.S. economy is small, I think that if the Fed postponed the decision, it would be just a temporary, very temporary postponement.
Speculation as to whether the US presidential election might affect Federal Reserve policy is basically just that, speculation. The central bank itself is adamant. When it comes to making the right choices for the US economy, political considerations are cast aside. Sam Fleming, Financial Times, Washington, D.C.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Center.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.